Welcome to Locked On Heat. On today's show, we open up the mailbag to talk about potential draft prospects that the Heat could target if they acquire a second-round pick.
Then we'll discuss a long-term plan for the Heat's rebuilding process and debate one of Bill Simmons' fake trade ideas. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credential writer covering the NBA. We'll step back right for the Miami Heat's tip-off magazine. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Rommel, credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat and league at large for SB Nation and Fansided. You can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRommel13.
We're opening up the mailbag today, something we usually do on Mondays, but this week we had Doris Burke on the show. And if you haven't listened to our conversation with her that posted on Monday, definitely go back and listen to that. It was an awesome conversation. We were really, really excited to have her on the show, and it's definitely worth your time. But now we've got some mailbag questions to get to, so let's get to it. And this one comes from BJ, who tweets in a question about the NBA draft, which is coming up this Thursday night. And the Heat don't have a pick, but BJ asks, if the Heat did pay for a second-round pick, which likely second-round prospect would you like to see them get, and why? So, David, you and I haven't done as much... Well, I shouldn't speak for you, but I feel like I haven't done as much draft homework as I did last year when the Heat had the 14th pick in the draft, right?
Yeah.
And ended up with Bam. But I always kind of like to kind of look through the second-round picks because you never know, just like the Warriors did last year, they went ahead and bought the pick from the Chicago Bulls that ended up turning into Jordan Bell. The Heat would be able to do something similar. Now, there's some technicalities there, right? Like, they already spent their allotment of money last year, so they could agree to purchase the pick Thursday night, but the deal wouldn't actually go through until July 1st when the new league year starts. Okay. And they would have about $5.1 million, I believe, to spend on a pick, and they could do anything up to that in order to purchase the pick. And usually, I think these second-round picks go for somewhere between $3 and $4 million, depending on where it lands. So Miami would be able to do it. And so technicalities aside, it is a possibility for the Heat to purchase a pick and get into the second round. They would not have to part with a player. They would basically able to just be able to buy a draft pick. So with that in mind, does anybody kind of stand out to you, David, as a second-round prospect that you kind of have your eye on?
Well, two things. One, I should add, well, at least in my opinion, that if Miami is buying a second-round pick, it's because they see that with the purpose of trying to build up a roster, one that's likely to be shaken up via trade, where you move a number of players maybe to acquire one type player. So you have all of a sudden gaps in your roster that must be filled. And the best way of doing that is by taking a flyer on a second round pick that you can develop and hope to bring up and again, make a more complete player. So I think that's probably the understanding there, right? I mean, maybe you disagree, but with this roster, the way as it currently stands, heading into draft night, I just can't see Miami saying to themselves, we need a second round type player. They'll either take a chance in an undrafted free agency, develop them through the D League the way they have, I'm sorry, the G League as they have in the past, and then take a chance that way rather than trying to acquire and spend money on a second round pick.
Especially because you would have to pay that second round pick a minimum salary, but it would also sort of eat into Miami's cap situation right now, and that would further. I think Miami, for example, would rather have Wayne Ellington back than some second round prospect, but. You're right, and I think if they were to particularly part with one of their younger guys in a trade package, like a Justice Winslow or a Bam or a Josh Richardson, then getting somebody to sort of replenish the youth part of this roster would be extra important. So, is there anybody that you're looking at?
Yeah, to follow up then, I see you've written down four names on your list.
Yes.
I have four names on my list, three of which you have on yours. So clearly we've been doing this podcast together for too long. Either that or our vision for what Miami could possibly select is just way too aligned. But I absolutely see four names standing out on my list. I've got them here as Justin Jackson out of Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Omari Spellman out of the Villanova University. Shake Milton out of Southern Methodist University. And Jalen Brunson, who's probably going to be a late first rounder, not necessarily a second round pick, but the kind of guy that if he slips into that second round, I could see Miami totally trying to acquire, as he's the kind of player that they love to have drafted in the past. Somebody who's played a number of years in college, has the quote-unquote NBA pedigree. You know, I hate that terminology, but it's the reality with his dad having played a number of years in the league, having learned what it takes to be an NBA player, showing veteran leadership, and guiding Villanova to a title this past year. I think he fits the mold perfectly. So that's four names that I have circled, and you've got three of those. You've got one different name that's Jared Vanderbilt out of Kentucky.
Okay. Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about Jalen Brunson because I like him a lot, but he's going to be 22 by the time the league year starts, or by the time the season starts, I should say.
Right.
And so I could see him. I mean, Miami has taken chances on guys like that, and that's kind of like a value pick in the second round because a lot of people don't like to take older guys in the first round just because you don't know what they're like. You could get an 18-year-old who is much more raw, but you could see them developing into somebody that it's as good, if not better, by the time that they're 22.
But you
in
look
their
at
NBA system.
You so look I think, at somebody I th- comparable, th- that you know, Shabazz Napier, somebody that Miami took a number of years ago. His career took a long and winding road, but he finally was able to develop into a very complementary role player in Portland alongside Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum. So it has to be the right situation, not necessarily based on age. You know, that's the whole thing. We're thinking that at 22, these players are already too old. There's a good chance they could still develop. It might still take a longer time, and maybe that's not the kind of chance you're willing to take. But if you get a good role player that's going to be affordable for a number of years, why not take that chance, even if they're slightly older?
And that was my point, is that he could very well slip into the second round and be there for Miami, right? Because if he falls out of the first, and I think he would be a great pick. I like the idea of Jalen Brunson. I think he's sort of that, especially if Miami could find a way to get off of the Tyler Johnson contract, which I don't think that they can. But Jalen Brunson very much projects as a similar type of, you know, gritty, work hard player, just, you know, a pro's pro kind of guy who's going to show up, do the work. And I could see him being sort of a fill-in backup guard there. I wonder if he'll slip into the second round and be available. I want to talk about Justin Jackson, though, because he was a guy who was projected to be as high as a lottery pick.
Yeah, so
coming out of Maryland as a freshman, he decided to go back for his sophomore season. He's one of your prototypical, like, 3-and-D projection kind of guys. 6'7", 229 pounds, 7'3" wingspan, versatile defender. Shades of Kelly Oubre Jr., dare I say?
I saw that as a comparison, partly the reason why I had him on my list, but he's of the four names that I wrote down, the guy least likely to take a chance on, I think. I think he's actually a great candidate if he goes undrafted to sign to your team because of his offensive liabilities. As a defender, he projects to be a top-notch defender, obviously something that would appeal to Miami. You have so many great wing defenders already between James Johnson, Justice Winslow, even Bam Adebayo, you know, of course, Josh Richardson. So why not bring in a guy like Jackson who could fill in along that same role and then have his offense developed in Sioux Falls and then eventually bringing him up to the big club?
And that, for that reason, I also had Jared Vanderbilt. He's a forward out of Kentucky, comparable to Justin Jackson, younger. A little bit, not as long, 6'8", 214 pounds, 7'1" wingspan, so his wingspan 2 inches shorter than Justin Jackson, but long, really aggressive perimeter defender, played at Kentucky, so at a high level, and we've seen guys like Bam Adebayo, for example, and several other people who leave Kentucky and show that they could do even more just because Kentucky is so loaded. Yeah. Vanderbilt, a guy who could play either forward spot, switch multiple positions. The only thing with him, didn't shoot threes. He took just one three-pointer all season at Kentucky. But look, I think guys like Luke Mbamute and you know, people that are making, you know, for Houston that he played a big role in, and guys like Draymond Green and just, you know, dudes that, or even Andre Iguodala for the Warriors, you don't necessarily need them to take threes if they're surrounded by the best player, by offensive players who can carry the load. But I think that those guys who are just able to switch so many positions are so valuable in today's game that, look, in the second round, you're probably not going to get somebody that can carry the load for you offensively. So I'm looking for at least one skill, one thing that I know that they can do. And a guy like Jared Vanderbilt, I know he can defend on the perimeter. I know he's going to like get steals and get blocks and just be of value on that end of the floor.
Right.
And I appreciate that. Like, if you draft a guy like Vanderbilt, you know that you're getting at least that. Mm-hmm. And so, to me, of my four, I kind of like him the most. Out of your four, who's the one guy you like the most?
Well, aside from Brunson, to me, it's Omari Spellman. And I'll add about Vanderbilt, though, that I've seen that he may or may not He's rumored to have already worked out some kind of a deal with the team, potentially as a domestic draft and stash player. And that's probably why some people think he left Kentucky a little early, was because he may have had, again, some kind of a promise to be selected somewhere in the second round. And there are some injury concerns there. But I like the Spellman pick. He seems like that kind of guy who is a great sleeper, somebody who really needs the Heat culture to help manifest his abilities to the fullest. And I think he's a long player. He's 6'9". He's got a 7'2 wingspan. He's a big type also, 250 pounds or so.
Stocky.
And yes, very stocky, strong, solid interior presence, good rebounder, really good passer, really great from the perimeter also. He shoots the three ball at a pretty high rate, 44%. Yeah. And he has a lot of intensity, very intelligent. That was one of the things that I saw in almost every scouting report, was that everybody spoke highly of his intelligence and understanding. The only problem is that some people question whether or not he has the motor. And I think that's something that could really take it to another level there in Miami. I think, you know, obviously Heat culture permeating through their G League team in Sioux Falls as well. They'll be able to get him in better shape, maybe chisel him down a little bit, and then get him to take his game to another level. So he's the guy that I'm really most intrigued by.
I think that's the key when it comes to Amari Spellman, right? Is that he's a 254 pounds. I've seen comparisons to Boris Diaw at several different places. Anthony Mason, yeah. If you can get him into Miami's No Pancake program, I think that that would really help him. And then maybe that also helps his motor, right, if he's in just better shape. I love the idea of Spellman as a guy who could play play like a small ball five, especially if Miami ends up clearing some of the space there at center if they have some minutes to go around. But look, the NBA draft and the offseason are here, but the better executives look beyond just these few next months. We'll look at what kind of position that he could be in 2 years from now when we come back after this quick break. Back with Locked On Heat, Bill Simmons had an interesting trade idea that we'll debate later on, but let's go to this next question from Marcus, our Patreon supporter, who writes in, worst case, the Heat can't trade away any of the quote-unquote bad contracts this year or next year. If they're able to upset a higher-seeded team in the next 2 years, following Hassan Whiteside, Goran Dragic, and Tyler Johnson's contracts expiring, can two stars added to Bam, Justice, and Josh Richardson make the Heat a legit contender? I think if the league sees what those three guys can do with their smarts and defensive effort, in 2 years the Heat could be a premier destination for one or two future big name free agents. So Marcus, getting to the idea that if the Heat, with the roster as currently constructed, go to the playoffs, maybe advance a round or two, and then eventually just wait for the lifespans of the contracts that Miami currently has, the bigger contracts, to just go away. Mm-hmm. By that time, does Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson, and Bam Adebayo project as a core that you can really add free agents around? That guys around the league who are entering their own free agent markets and have to make their own free agent decisions look at Miami with their new cap space, with their young core, with that young trio, as a destination?
You know, if you're asking me that question, and I guess Marcus is,
that's what we're doing here.
It's a question that I've kind of been thinking about a lot lately as far as Miami's status as a premier destination. And, you know, it's something that we brought up in last week's Friday podcast with Anthony Chang of the Palm Beach Post, when we were talking about Kawhi Leonard and whether or not Miami fits that bill, whether or not Kawhi is that type of player. And I got to be honest with you, I just don't see it. I think there's so much more involved. Like, we have this kind of naive perspective, and I think that's all of us, not just Marcus or any member of the Heat fan base, but we have this perspective that if you see young guys playing at a high level, that's going to be enough to make this team attractive. Or it's going to be, you know, some wily veteran, a superstar player, is going to say, you know what, damn, I want to play with X player. I want to play with Justice because he shows heart and intensity and he can defend at a high level. I don't think that's enough. You know, you have that almost anywhere in the league, really. I think it takes a step beyond that. And I think one of the things that we tend to overlook when we think of these players as just that, players, is that they're also people. And I don't know that there is a solid recruiter on this team that can lure players over there. And I think it goes beyond what you see on the court, and it extends mostly on what you have off of it. The friendships that you form off the court when you're involved in summer activities, where you train with one another elsewhere across the country, when you do charity events for each other, not just because you came into the same draft class. Look, for everything that we've looked at 2010 as far as the Heat putting together these three premier players that mesh really well, none of that happens if Dwayne Wade isn't really, really good friends with LeBron James. And that's what it comes down to. They're just friends. And that's what made this really a possibility more than anything else. And I think you look at a guy like Draymond Green, as good as that team was in Golden State a couple of years ago, if not for him being in Kevin Durant's ear, and we've seen recent reports indicating this, for a full year he was trying to recruit Kevin Durant. You know, when Durant was telling the media that he was coming back to Oklahoma City, whether, you know, that whole issue was going on, and he was just answering all these questions about free agency, he was already hearing it from Draymond. And I think, I don't know that Richardson is that guy just yet. Now, I'm buoyed by the fact that he did make some public comments about LeBron James, that he does think that this is a good team that has the quote-unquote right pieces to go around LeBron. And I think that's a step in the general direction. We need more of that, because right now, none of these guys have any kind of all-star cachet. There's not really much off-the-court involvement, at least not that we see. We love seeing them interact with one another. We love seeing Justice and Tyler Johnson and James Johnson working in the offseason. We love seeing that, but it needs to go a bit beyond that in order to attract other players from other teams around the league.
And I'm just looking at, I agree 100% with everything that you're saying right now, and it's also kind of iffy to plan, like, there's when Pat Riley was planning for that free agency of 2010, you knew that guys like LeBron and Chris Bosh were going to be available. You knew that Amari Stoudemire also available that year, and that you kind of were planning around that group, and Miami did that for 2 or 3 years, right? It took a lot of planning. So what Marcus is asking here is it time to do something similar? Is it time to plan ahead 2 years from now? Because the other part of this, too, that we don't talk enough about, David, is that the Warriors are still going to be super good for at least those 2 years. And a lot of teams, I think, are taking this long view. But to me, Miami is in a predicament right now where when those contracts do come off the books, the summer of 2020, that's not the LeBron James, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade free agency class. I'm looking at the guys who are going to be available here. Jimmy Butler is due to be an unrestricted free agent, but he's likely going to opt out before that and sign an extension. Kyrie Irving, same thing. Due to be an unrestricted free agent, he likely signs an extension before that. So Butler, Kyrie, I would not plan on them being available. Chris Middleton. He'll be 29, I believe. Not a bad pick, but not somebody that you plan 2 years of advance to getting, right? Like,
does this include like a potential player or team options?
Yeah, I'll get to that. You're jumping the gun here. So, Draymond Green, free agent. I don't know about it. I don't know how he ages, right? I don't know how he ages.
You don't think his game ages well?
I just don't know if the game at his size ages well, and I don't know if, like, he's really good for the Warriors, but I don't know how good he'd be at other teams that don't have Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant spacing the floor for him.
You're one of those.
Well, I mean, I think Draymond is even admitted to this, like,
yeah,
I'm
kind of busting your chops, kind of, okay. but voicing, I think, what I've heard a lot of people say as well, that obviously he wouldn't fit as well anywhere else.
He's not going to lead your offense, and if Miami doesn't have, like, I could see Draymond being the Chris Bosh of a free agency class if you can find a way to get Dwayne Wade and or LeBron. But like I'm saying, there's just, that doesn't exist here unless Kyrie Irving does wait out the length of that contract, which is possible. And then you're able to go get somebody like Kyrie Irving. But other guys with player options, Gordon Hayward. He'll be 32, though, at that time. No. DeMar DeRozan. He'll have a player option. He'll also be 32. There's already trade rumors that Miami could go after DeMar DeRozan, and I don't want anything to do with DeMar DeRozan. The only guy to me that really stands out is Otto Porter Jr. He'll be 29 years old with a player option. Could become a free agent, but who knows if he will. We've seen, you know, Otto Porter Jr. to me is a very nice player. But he's that fine. Contract is hefty. That is a nice contract. And I don't know that he's actually going to exercise that player option to enter free agency. He might just take the money and run. So I just don't see the guy in 2020 that is worth building around. Now, I'll say this for Marcus's question. I do think Josh Richardson, Bam Adebayo, and Justice Winslow, you need to see more. I think that if you have that young trio and you're able to add something to that, something a little bit more than what Goran Dragic is. Somebody that may be a little bit younger with a little bit more upside. If you're able to add to that core, I think that becomes enticing to a right free agent within the next few seasons. But they've got to find out what those guys have. That means getting more, finding a defined role for Justice Winslow, which we talked about a million times, getting more playing time for Bam Adebayo one way or the other, and and seeing more consistency from Josh Richardson. Before we get to anything about 2020 free agency, you got to get those three things figured out first.
That's fair. What would that look like for you? Not just more consistent production, but I'm thinking at least some kind of accolade, right? It has to be some kind of all-star, maybe an all-NBA team, maybe all-NBA defensive team at the very least.
I think that's the key. Yeah, if you get Richardson and or Justice Winslow making an all-NBA defensive team, I think you could see a offensive-minded player saying, you know what, I'll go with those guys. They'll take care of the defensive end, and I could just go hoop, you know?
What's Klay Thompson's free agency like? I think, is that next year?
I think it's 2019, summer 2019.
Yeah, I could see that being the kind of missing player there.
Yeah.
But I don't see any reason why he'd want to leave California.
No, he's very happy. He's spoken a lot about
as happy as Klay gets publicly, anyway.
Yeah, as happy as Klay gets. Yeah, he'll be a free agent next summer. All right, well, we talked about a potential Raptors trade involving DeMar DeRozan. Bill Simmons tweeted out a trade not involving DeMar DeRozan, but involving Kyle Lowry. We'll debate that fake trade idea when we come back after this break. Back with Locked On Heat, let's get to our final mailbag question. And instead of taking one from our listeners, David, I wanted to take this fake trade from Bill Simmons that's been making the rounds on Heat Twitter. And here it is, Kyle Lowry for Goran Dragic and Dion Waiters. I mean, people have been debating this for a few days now. As Bill Simmons says, the money's dead even. It's not exactly dead even. Lowry's contract is about $2 million more in each of the next two seasons than the combined total of Dragic and Waiters together. But it's doable. I see why if Toronto wants to shake things up, I see why they would do it. Mm-hmm. I don't love this deal for the Heat, though.
No, I definitely do not. I mean, maybe I'm guilty of something we've talked about a number of times that, you know, maybe we're overvaluing our players. This isn't a knock on Lowry. I just think you're getting a lot more value out of Dragic and what Waiters potentially can bring to the table for Toronto. I think, you know, you'll get a starting quality, you know, all-star point guard and Dragic, somebody who can run the offense. He's probably not going to contribute at the same level that Lowry does, and certainly not defensively. But he's going to fit in there really, really well, I think. And you're going to get a quality scorer in Dion who can come off the bench. He'll likely back up DeRozan. I assume that would be the case, although we don't know what plans new head coach Nick Nurse would have. So we would assume that Waiters would probably come off the bench. But, you know, for a team that showed as much depth as Toronto did and, you know, ultimately wound up falling short to the Cavaliers in the playoffs, they could use another score, another guy willing to take on that moment. I know Fred VanVleet is a free agent this summer, so maybe he leaves the team. They could use a little bit more scoring punch, and Dion brings ball handling and certainly the chutzpah to take that big shot at the end of games. But for Miami, you're getting an all-star player, a good defensive point guard, but ultimately a guy who's very undersized, who has had problems coming up in the playoffs. And I think at his size, that's the biggest, to me, his size and his age, not to mention the kind of contract that he's under for the next couple of seasons, that just makes him a real burdensome acquisition for me. Mm-hmm. As much as you'd love to have a guy like Lowry, I'd rather had a guy like Lowry 3 years ago than the guy that we're getting today.
Yeah, I mean, look, the fit makes sense, right? And I think Lowry is certainly a better player than Goran Dragic. I just don't know that he's that much better that you would pay him that much more money and also give away whatever upside Dion Waiters has, right? And look, the fit makes sense. Lowry is kind of a slower paced point guard, a really, really good on ball defender who would help Miami's defense. I mean, you swap Lowry for Dragic and then taking into account internal growth and just natural progression from these guys of playing of another year together, Miami could have a top five defense, and I don't think that's even a question. But I don't know that at what, 32 years old, that you really want to, 32 years old, you want to take Lowry with $31 million and $32 million remaining, or $31 and then $33 million remaining on that contract, I you're not gonna be able, if you're the Heat, like that last year, the contract is not gonna look good, and you're not gonna be able to trade him. Like you would have a better time trading Dragic or Dion Waiters next, you know, now next year and the season after that than you would Lowry on that contract. I just don't like it. It would seem like Miami would be locking themselves into a team built around around Kyle Lowry. And if you're doing that, I don't really know what your upside is. I don't know what the plan is. So to me, I wouldn't do that trade if I'm the Heat, because I just don't see what a team built around 33 and 34-year-old Kyle Lowry's upside is. I do think that Deion Waiters has a substantial amount more upside going into his 26-year-old season than even Lowry or Dragic has. And I would rather, I mean, it sounds crazy, but I would rather see what Deion Waiters has this next year than before trading him.
Oh yeah, I have to agree 100%. I mean, I just think, you know, that is a problem for the team long term, and I just don't see any benefit to it, to be honest with you.
But
just,
I have seen a lot of support for this trade on Heat Twitter, and I'm really curious to see what the reason for it is. I haven't looked too much into the comments and stuff like that, but if you're listening, please tweet us like why we're wrong, because Twitter is like on board for this.
I think it's to shed Deion's contract, which is seen with the owners. I think a lot of people, look, even when he was performing at such a high level, you and I have always had an admiration for Deion's game. And I think that's something that's atypical for the Heat fan base. I think he was struggling to prove himself in that first season. I think a lot of people wrote him off. He has that negative reputation. We've made a case for him on a number of occasions, and I think it's just fallen on deaf ears. He played at a really high level that one year, and then, of course, he struggled at the start of last season. He still had that ankle issue. He had the surgery. So I think you're forgetting what it is that Deion can bring to this table. But, I mean, if we have to make the appeal, we'll do it again. You're going to get a quality scorer, if nothing else. You're also going to get a versatile defender. Think back to 2 years ago when he was with the Oklahoma City Thunder, and watch him in the playoffs guard centers, legitimate center players against Golden State. I think when didn't they go up against the Warriors that year as well? Yeah, that's right.
And the Spurs,
and he had a phenomenal series against them. He was a difference maker against them, and he was guarding a number of players, much taller than he's generously listed at 6'4". That's not the case. I've stood next to him, and that is not the case. He's very sturdy, the same way we kind of talk about who am I thinking? Lowry's a guy like that who gets that reputation for Chris Paul.
James Harden is similar to that too. I mean, really just guys that are just strong for their size.
Right. The sturdiness to possess, to be able to limit even bigger players, and I think that's something that Deion has. He's a good passer. He's a good rebounder for his size, without a doubt. And I think he just has... Look, he probably had an ankle injury that was limiting his impact, his liftoff, and his aggressiveness, which is a big component of, you know, something that drives him. And I think if you get that back, if he's fully healthy and has something to prove, and that's something that's going to be a real, really big part of what defines Deion this season. If he still if he realizes he has something to prove, to remind everybody why he's still a top player, or at least in his opinion, a top player, then I think this is a great opportunity. You're going to get a quality score. If nothing else, you're going to get drives to the rim. If those shots miss, as they will on occasion, then you're going to get a great opportunity for a rebounder, say a Bam Adebayo or Hassan Whiteside, if he's still on this roster. So.
And that ankle is the wild card, right? And I do think that's ultimately why Toronto would also say no to this trade, is because nobody knows how he's going to bounce back from that. It's worth mentioning. But I want to go back to something you said, and I know you were you were sort of trying to figure out why Heat Twitter would be in on this deal, is because you kind of get off of the Deion Waiters contract. In getting off of the Deion Waiters contract, you get on to this Kyle Lowry contract. Let's not overlook how you are paying this guy more than $30 million a year, where Dragic is at a very manageable, a bargain even, at $18 and $19 million over the next few seasons. And Waiters, if he pans out, will also be on a bargain contract. I mean, if you're paying him $12 million a year for a guy who could score upwards of 18 points per game, that is a bargain contract, guys. So you and I have been driving the Deion Waiters bandwagon ever since he arrived in South Beach, and I think that we're continuing to do so. And I like Kyle Lowry a lot as a player, and I think he's the kind of guy who you need in today's NBA, in that He can pick up and guard basically any opposing point guard, and you need guys. If you don't have one of the elite point guards in the league, you need a guy who can guard those other guys, but not at $30-plus million a year, because at that price, I want one of the elite point guards in the league, and right now Kyle Lowry just isn't that, so I'd stick with Dragic and Waiters for now. All right, well, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. As always, you can reach us by email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or on Twitter by using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Support the show by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/lockedonheat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.